All right. Now, when we're scared, isn't there something incredibly comforting to know that someone else is there with us when we're scared? We were at Sydney Zoo a couple of months ago. Has anyone been to Sydney Zoo recently? And we just entered the reptile section of the zoo, which is an indoor section. If you've been there before, it's quite dark. Only the enclosures that are in the walls are lit. And Reuben, our four-year-old, was kind of in charge of looking after him at that point. And he was staying quite close to me for most of the walk through this reptile part. But then all of a sudden I looked around at one point and I'd lost him. It was quite busy and I'd lost Reuben. I went back as fast as I could through the reptile part, couldn't find him anywhere backwards, went through the whole reptile park. He wasn't there. Now, Lily and I were pretty stressed at this point, as you can imagine. But imagine being Reuben, four-year-old, losing sight of mum and dad in a really crowded place. How distressing is that? Maybe you can even remember being a kid and feeling that way, feeling that kind of distress, losing mum or dad. Well, thankfully, we did find Reuben in the end. He's okay. He's actually sick today. He's at home. But he was searching for us actually in the next section, and he was really upset. And we can understand why he was really upset, can't we? Because to know mum or dad are with you, well, that is a place of security and comfort. All of us want the comforting presence of another. And perhaps that is why we love Psalm 23 so much. It's a psalm so many people know and treasure. So many people choose to have Psalm 23 at a funeral of a loved one. In fact, it was even sung at the Queen's funeral recently. Charles Spurgeon says this about Psalm 23. "This is the pearl of the Psalms, whose soft and pure radiance delights every eye." It does delight us, this psalm, doesn't it? Because it describes something that we desperately want, the comforting presence of God with us. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not fear, for you are with me." God is with the psalmist, David, the author of the psalm. And that brings such comfort to him. But is God truly with us too? And how can we know? Is it just wishful thinking? Can we take these words written by King David and say them about ourselves? Well, I'm convinced we can if we're believers in Jesus. But first we need to figure out how we move from a psalm written by King David about his own experience to our experience. And so this is where I think the illustration Jim gave us last week was so helpful, the roundabouts. Often our tendency is, Jim was saying last week, to jump illegally across the roundabout, either straight to Jesus or just cut the roundabout entirely and go to us, if we think of us coming this way, coming up this way. Instead, Jim challenged us to go legally around the roundabout, to start first thinking about what this passage would mean for the original hearers, and then think about how it's fulfilled in Jesus, and then think, okay, how does this apply to us? I reckon this is a wonderful way to read any part of the Bible. And I want to modify it slightly for the Psalms in particular to help us read any psalm. Now, do you see, if you've got your Bible in front of you, do you see the subtitle at the start of Psalm 23? What does it say? It's in italics. It says, "A Psalm of David." That's right, a Psalm of David. That's in the original text. That's part of the original Hebrew, a Psalm of David. And most of the psalms we have are written by or about David, the king, the great king of Israel. And so when we read the psalms, it's good for us to first think, what did it mean for King David when he sung this, when he wrote it and sung it? But they're not only King David's songs. They're also the songs of a future king, the Messiah. Because when we get to the New Testament, as we saw last week when we looked at Psalm 22, we see Jesus taking the words of the Psalms on his lips. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Psalm 22, verse 1. We see Jesus taking that psalm on his lips and taking other psalms on his lips. And we see his disciples seeing the psalms, interpreting the psalms as pointing to Jesus and actually talking about his experience. And so these are David's songs, King David's songs, but they're also King Jesus' songs. Can we sing them too? Absolutely. And we're going to see today that we can sing these songs as those who are Jesus' people and as those who are united to Jesus, who are in Christ. And so let's see how that's true in Psalm 23. Here's where we're going, if you're taking notes. We're going to see that the Lord is the King's shepherd in verses 1 to 3. And we'll see in verse 4 that the Lord is the King's comfort. And finally, that the Lord brings about the King's victory. So let's look first at the Lord being the King's shepherd. Verses 1 to 3, starting at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, David says. I have what I need. Now see what this tells us about God, the Lord. David writes this. You know, even though he is the king over all Israel, he recognizes there's someone actually above him, over him. The Lord stands over him. But do you see how the Lord stands over David? He stands over him as a shepherd. And what does a shepherd do with his sheep? Guides and protects them personally. Verse 4 tells us, with his rod and staff. He's not like a distant CEO. Here is a God who's personally involved in David's life for his good. Now that is actually a radically different kind of God to the gods of the ancient world. Because in the ancient world, in many cultures, humans were created by the gods in their creation stories. They were created by the gods as slaves to do the work the gods didn't want to do. But do you see how that's different here? God, as a shepherd, is the one who's actually serving David for his good, which means he's not distant either. He's not disinterested in what's happening on earth. He's actually personally guiding his king, shepherding him. And notice David says, the Lord is my shepherd as well. It's not just a shepherd. He's not our shepherd. He's my shepherd. David knows the Lord in a stunningly intimate way, like a sheep knows its shepherd. And David knows that because the Lord is his shepherd, that he has what he needs. Now, what is a sheep dependent on its shepherd for? Everything, really, isn't it? It's dependent on to find food and water, to be led to food and water, to be protected from wandering away, to be protected from threats. David has all that in his Lord. He looks to his Lord like a sheep looks to its shepherd, knowing he provides everything he needs. And verse 2 and 3 then tell us just what David's shepherd provides. David says, he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Now, doesn't this just speak of the incredible goodness of God? What does he provide David? What does God provide David? Green pastures, quiet waters, and the right paths to walk in. This is a picture of abundance. And in providing all this, verse 3 says, God renews David's life. That is, he brings him out of danger. He protects him, guides him in the right way. And he does it for his name's sake. Do you notice that? He does it because this is who he is. This is his character. He's chosen Israel as his people, and he's chosen David as his king. And David has confidence that God's just not going to go back on his commitment to his people and his king because he is good. The Lord is David's shepherd. And then verse 4 shows us that the Lord is also the king's comfort, David's comfort, even through the darkest valley. The Lord is the king's comfort. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I wonder if there's a particular place or activity that you enjoy doing that makes you feel close to God. Now, perhaps it's visiting a place, maybe like this lady sitting by the beach. Perhaps it's a great cathedral you like to go to, or perhaps climbing a mountain, or maybe listening to particular music. You fill in the blank. I wonder what it might be. Well, often we associate these experiences and the feelings we get from them with the presence of God with us. But if we think God is present in these situations and not at any other moment, then we're veering away from the Bible, what the Bible actually says. Because what does David say here in verse 4? Even though I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. David's convinced that God is with him even in the darkest valley. You may remember this psalm if you've been around church a long time, been reading a Bible for a long time. You may remember this psalm a bit differently from how it was read in the translation we use here, the CSB. The CSB translates in verse 4, darkest valley, where all the translations had the valley of the shadow of death. Now, that older translation, Valley of Shadow of Death, is certainly possible from the Hebrew, but I think the CSB has got it right in translating darkest valley. And that suggests that David's talking more about than just walking through death itself. He's actually talking about the many dark situations we face in life. He's talking about the life-threatening situations, the crises. You know, David may be picturing the shadowy, dry stream beds of ancient Israel when he talks about going through the darkest valley. These are the deep, the stream beds, the dry stream beds deep in canyons that the shepherds would have to sometimes lead their sheep through in search of grass and water. And in these places, Gerald Wilson says that there is no grass or water. And the heat can be oppressive, and the whole flock must struggle up the steep sides of the canyon to resume its journey toward the next feeding place. So extremely dangerous for the sheep. But even here, David says, in the most dangerous of places, I am comforted because I know God's with me. So God is not just with David then, when he's having that mountaintop experience. When he's singing in the temple, or when he's basking in military victory. Not just when he has these good feelings. No, God's with David, even when he fears for his life. Even when, like we saw in Psalm 22 last week, even when he's surrounded by the scorns and the mocks of others. Even in the darkest valley, God is with David. And what is it here in verse 4 that provides particular comfort to David? Well, it says that the shepherd's rod and staff comforts him. These are reminders to the sheep of the shepherd's presence as he prods and guides the sheep by the rod and staff. And it's a comforting presence. But why is the presence of the shepherd so comforting? Well, when I think about shepherds, and I read psalms like this, sometimes in my mind I think of a scene a bit like this. You know, these kind of paintings of, I think this might be of Jesus as the shepherd, you know, pristine white robes, gentle looking guy. But actual shepherds are quite different to this. David himself was a shepherd, and he spoke of his experience as a shepherd in 1 Samuel 16. Let me read that for us. David says, "Your servant," he's speaking to Saul, "your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears." Now, isn't this a bit of a grittier picture of a shepherd than we sometimes think of in those nicely painted pastoral scenes. Here's another description from a 19th century author. When he came across some shepherds in the wild, so to speak, he says this: the shepherds themselves had none of that peaceful and placid aspect which is generally associated with pastoral life and habits. They looked like warriors marching to the battlefield, a long gun slung from the shoulder, a dagger and heavy pistols in the belt, a light battle axe or iron-headed club in the hand. Such were the equipments, and their fierce flashing eyes and scowling countenances showed but too plainly that they were prepared to use their weapons at any moment. They looked like warriors. That's what shepherds are more like, I think. So the comforting presence of the Lord for David is the comforting presence of a strong warrior protecting him, guiding him in the right paths, even through the darkest valleys. The Lord is the king's shepherd, and the Lord is the king's comfort. Then from verse 5, the metaphor shifts. From shepherding, we find ourselves at a great banquet. And here in this third section of the psalm, we see that the Lord brings about the king's victory. The Lord brings about the king's victory. You prepare a table before me, verse 5, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. So the scene has changed. From picturing God as his shepherd, David now pictures God as a host, with David there as a guest at God's table, enjoying a meal that God's prepared. But what's strange about this meal? The second line there makes it feel a bit strange to me. It's in the presence of David's enemies. That seems like an odd time to have a meal. What kind of meal is David envisioning here? Well, perhaps it's a meal of confidence. Maybe it's a meal of confidence. I want you to imagine a couple who are in the middle of a bushfire, but they're in a house that's purpose-built to withstand these kind of fires. With the fire burning all around the house, instead of fleeing, they sit down and enjoy a meal, confident that the house will withstand the flames. Maybe David's saying he has this kind of confidence. When enemies threaten on every side, he has God with him, and so he doesn't need to be afraid. But I think the banquet here points to something even more. More than just God's presence with David during suffering, verse 5, I think, points to the king's victory. You see, the feasting in front of the enemies here, I think these are likely captured enemies who are being forced to watch this. And notice the king is anointed with oil before the meal, and the cup overflowing with wine. This is a sign of blessing. I think it all points to victory. And David enjoys this victory in the presence of God himself at his table, confident that, verse 6, God's goodness and faithful love will pursue him, that is, run after him, all of his days. And his confidence of where he's going to end up as well. He's confident of his destination, that he will dwell with God in God's house. In other words, David looks forward to coming through the darkest valley and enjoying God in his house, in his temple, for the rest of his days. The Lord brings about the king's victory. That's David's great confidence. But remember the roundabout. Reading the Psalms shouldn't stop at David. The Psalms are not just about David. They're about a greater king. Jesus is the ultimate king in David's line. He's the Messiah, and so he's the one who can sing the king's Psalms most truly, even more truly than King David, whose life was a real mixed bag. David's trust in the Lord as his shepherd and his confidence in ultimate victory should actually lead us to think of Jesus' trust in his Lord as his shepherd, in his heavenly Father. Jesus' confidence in the victory God would bring about for him. You see, Jesus is the one that trusted perfectly in the Father as he shepherded him in every moment of his life. Jesus is the one who perfectly followed his shepherd's lead, only ever doing what the Father told him to do. That's what John 14:31 says. Jesus is the one who had confidence that God would raise him to life after he died in great victory. So what a comfort this would have been for Jesus as God led him toward the darkest valley of the cross and through that to the ultimate victory over sin and death in his resurrection. So, yes, the Lord is David's shepherd, comfort, and brings about his victory in some sense. But more truly, the Lord is Jesus' shepherd. The Lord is Jesus' comfort. The Lord brings about Jesus' victory. And so if this is David's psalm then, and Jesus' psalm, then how can we sing it? It's really important for us to know that not anyone can just claim this psalm for themselves. Although it might be something we desperately want, having God with us, it's not something that everyone can say, that God is my shepherd. No, there would have been many people at the Queen's funeral singing this psalm who were not singing something true of themselves. The Lord is my shepherd. But friends, if you are in Christ, then it is true for you. God is the shepherd of all who are in Christ. Remember what Romans has taught us about this. If we're believers in Jesus, we're united to him by faith. We've died with him in his death and been raised to new life in him. And so we enjoy relationship with God in Christ. And that means in Christ, the Lord God is our shepherd in an even more intimate way than David enjoyed. For we have the promise from Jesus himself, the Son. Matthew 28 verse 20, Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age. God is with us because Jesus is present with us by his Spirit, always to the end of the age. God is with us, guiding us, leading us through his word by his Holy Spirit. And he will never leave us. He will never leave us. He's not just with us when we're having that mountaintop experience either. He is with us even in the darkest valley. And that means we don't need to fear whatever comes because we know he's with us. We know he's good. And so we can be like that little child holding their father's hand in the crowd, secure in God's comforting presence. So we can sing Psalm 23 in Christ, but we can also sing it as those who are King Jesus' people. We can sing it as those who are King Jesus' people, as those who share in the King's victory. Now, this is not a psalm promising that we will be victorious in this life when suffering or sickness come, or that we will overcome these things each time. God never promises that us that in his word. Remember, here in Psalm 23, it's the king's victory that the psalm is talking about. But King Jesus has won the decisive victory over sin and death by dying on the cross, rising to new life. And as his people, we are caught up in that. He's won things for us that we get to share in, both now and in the future. So just as he's at the right hand of the Father, enjoying communion with him, dwelling with him forever. So he's preparing a place for us too. So that eternity enjoying God forever is not just the king's destination, but it's ours if we're in Christ. That's our great hope if we're in Christ, if we have faith in him. So church, I hope we leave today with this ringing in our ears, that if we're in Christ, then we can know that God is with us, not just in those mountaintop times, but all the time. He's with us as our shepherd. And as one of Jesus' people, we get to share in the King's great victory. How awesome is that? Let's praise God for that now in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this psalm, this beautiful psalm. Thank you that although King David wrote it and truly Jesus sung it most truly on his lips, thank you that we can sing it too, that in Christ you are our shepherd and that in Christ we can enjoy Jesus' victory. Lord, please help us to live our lives this week with that in view, you as our shepherd, the victory that Jesus has won for us, guaranteed, the eternal life that we can enjoy, guaranteed. Lord, we pray that all of us here might be part of that number who are in Christ and can look forward to eternal life with you forever. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.